Welcome to The Lisa Show with Lisa Valentine Clark and Richie T. Welcome to The Lisa Show.
This is a special Father's Day edition of The Lisa Show. I'm Lisa Valentine Clark.
And I am Richie T.
Is your dad sick of getting new shirts and grilling supplies for Father's Day? Well, coming up in 20 minutes, we're going to give you some gift ideas that are a little outside the box.
And coming up in your morning buzz, how about some things? How about 10 things? I normally just give you 3 things. How about 10 things you didn't know about Father's Day? I'll do that coming up.
I want to take a complete different shift right now.
Oh, yeah.
Because it is Friday, because we have waited for it, because likely the click-clack of your fingers on your keyboard
yes.
has been going crazy all week long, trying to win a family annual National Parks Pass from Lisa's Adventure Club. I think that it's time.
It is.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
I'm ready. You're ready.
I'm ready.
Let's do this.
Hello.
Hi, is Greg there?
This is Greg.
Hi, Greg. This is Lisa from The Lisa Show. How are you doing?
Fine, thanks.
Good. Hey, I am calling to let you know that you're a winner and you have won an annual National Parks Pass as part of Lisa's Adventure Club.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Where are you in this great country of ours?
In Idaho, Nampa, Idaho.
Oh, that's awesome. So what's your favorite national park?
I don't know. Yellowstone's mostly the one we've ever been to.
Uh-huh. Well, that's exciting. Well, thank you for listening to The Lisa Show and for entering for a chance to win. I'm excited for you. Who are you going to bring along with you when you go to these? Well, that's so great. Thanks again and congratulations.
All right. Thank you.
As we had a discussion off the air about what we could possibly discuss for Father's Day that maybe we haven't discussed before, one of our writers came with the suggestion of expectant fathers, and our ears perked up and the hair on the back of our neck stood up and we went, okay, normally we'd talk maybe about the expectant mother, but, you know, The Lisa Show is a space to talk about all things. So talking about expectant fathers was certainly something that I couldn't do alone. So we've invited a parenting expert and a child development expert as well, Rebecca Parlakian, about what expectant dads can do to stay involved in their spouse's pregnancy. Welcome, Rebecca.
Hi, thanks so much for having me today.
So the term expectant father, I think we go expectant and everyone's going to say, I'm a mother, but we say father.
Right.
So whether it's our first time or we're doing it again, what advice do you have for those expectant dads?
Well, I think the first thing we'd recommend is that your involvement can't start too early. You know, there was research that was done on expectant dads, and they found that the vast, vast majority, like over 80%, were, you know, quote unquote, overjoyed in response to their partner's pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
And half of them were present for the pregnancy test. So, you know, that involvement starts early. And there's lots of ways to be involved that have really a meaningful impact. Attending health visits, attending ultrasounds and childbirth classes, participation in all of these activities actually predicts dads being participatory and engaged once the baby is born. And we know that this is a huge change for men. 0 to 3, where I work, we did a national survey of millennial parents, and 3 out of 4 dads said that their lives began when they became a father.
That's really sweet. It's also a little scary for those of us who have never had, you know, the young children in our home. Maybe even the thought of a child can be scary or intimidating for us. Another component of it is so much of that early development obviously is all happening within the woman. So we in some ways sort of feel left out, or certainly don't know that we can relate exactly with what's going on.
Yeah, and you know what we know from research is that, you know, the fetus can begin to hear somewhere in the neighborhood of 24 to 25 weeks. So we really encourage moms and dads to be talking to the baby, reading to the baby, singing to the baby. And these are all wonderful ways of connecting. And, you know, we know that it's kind of hard to hear inside the belly. There's a lot of body sounds the baby is hearing. They can hear mom's voice most clearly. But there was a really neat study a few years ago that showed that newborns did recognize their dad's voices immediately after birth. So all that talking that you're doing to a belly actually is starting to build your relationship.
And being able to have that conversation. I can't remember if it was a movie or a TV show where, you know, it's the first time pregnancy. And of course, the comedy comes out and the foibles of the man trying to figure it out and all these different things. And and one of the things that he learns in his journey is about the speaking to the child in utero. And this particular scene that just brings me so much joy is that, you know, the father is speaking to his child, you know, who is still inside. And the mom keeps trying to talk to him about things that he needs to be doing, right? Getting ready, the right. nursery or those things. And he just stops and he says, "I am having a conversation with our child and I will give you my attention." And I just thought that was a sweet moment and maybe comedically effective, but you're saying that there is an impact by doing that.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, we also know that when dads are involved after the baby's born, that really, you know, when dads are, you know, spending time with baby and responding to their cues and participating in daily routines and nurturing, you know, just engaging in those nurturing behaviors, it really is beginning to build that lovely sense of trust and security and connection between dad and baby. So what starts, you know, prenatally, really kind of flowers once the baby is born in important ways, because we know that that father-child relationship has distinct benefits for children, you know, outside of the mother-child relationship.
I'm going to say something that I hear repeated often, and then maybe we can have a discussion around it. You know, when people talk about parenting, I think it applies certainly to fatherhood in this aspect. People will often declare, well, there's no guidebook, there's no instruction manual for fatherhood. And I think, well, sure, because it's such a unique journey that each individual takes place. But I also think there are a lot of classes and books that will help you be better than if you didn't proactively go after any of the information. So where's the disconnect there?
Well, I think part of it is that when you're holding the baby and they're screaming and you've no idea why, it can feel a little bit like, if you would just tell me, I would do it, you know? And, you know, maybe if you didn't come from a big family or you didn't have the experience of babysitting, being a parent can be a major transition. And sometimes I feel like it's the most important job that you get no job training. It's all on the job training, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think so many of our communities are offering programs like the ones you described so that at least we can have the beginnings of a toolbox. And I also think it's really important to locate programs in the community, you know, either run by community centers or hospitals or even houses of worship are offering programs. Some of them are just dad programs where you can just talk with other men about their experiences and really kind of tap into the collective wisdom and knowledge of experienced dads. And then other programs are, you know, father-child programs where you have a leader or a group facilitator that's kind of leading you through activities, but every once in a while can kind of drop some little gems of information. And I also think that, you know, pediatric health providers are increasingly taking the important role of not just caring for the physical health of our little ones, but also supporting parents' abilities to really take on that mother or fatherhood role, too.
We're talking with Rebecca Parlakian about expectant fathers as part of our Father's Day show here on The Lisa Show. There's definitely a conversation that if there are nerves, anxiety, just inexperience, not having the right information, that can make those expectant fathers sort of drop out or disappear or not know how to behave. Speak for a second to the women who those men maybe want to be a part, but don't know how, or maybe they're reluctant. What can those women in those expectant fathers' lives do?
Yeah, so there's been a lot of talk recently about that dynamic, and that sometimes if dads don't feel confident, that they'll, you know, step back a bit. And I think the most important thing that moms can do is make space for dads to have a really active role in caregiving. And sometimes moms feel really protective or have a vision of how something should look or be. And so I'll give an example from my own life. When my daughter was three, she went through a phase where, you know, she basically wanted to just layer like five skirts and, you know, two shirts and a sweater. And that was, you know, her vision as a three-year-old. Mm-hmm. And whereas I was a little bit more, you know, focused on let's wear a cute matching outfit, you know, my husband was really great about just like, oh, that's what you want to wear, go ahead, and a lot more flexible. And so I had to kind of tame that gatekeeper in me to say, no, I want her to wear the cute matching outfit. I had to kind of shut that down and be like, okay, you offered to get her dressed for the day. There's really nothing wrong about what she's wearing. It's just not my vision. So thanks for doing that, you know? And so I think, you know, moms can both, you know, a lot of times when moms are breastfeeding, it can be hard for couples to figure out where dad can come in and participate. But there are so many other routines, like diapering, like walking with the baby, rocking the baby, putting the baby back to sleep after the baby's been breastfed, playing with the baby, giving mom a break while she showers. So I think just, you know, parents need to come together and work as a team. And, you know, I think that's really the most important thing is assume the best of your partner, look for spaces that they can come in and participate, and really actively both of us show our gratitude to one another, because the research shows that marital satisfaction tends to drop after the birth of a baby because right. there are just so many stressors on the family system. So the more that we can do to support one another, express our gratitude, and leave space for each one of us to build that meaningful relationship with the baby, the stronger the threesome that we'll have.
Society uses the term rookie mistakes. Oh, that's a rookie mistake. What are those?
Yeah. Oh, boy. I think my husband and I have pretty much made them all. Yeah, I don't know if this is father specific, but, you know, our rookie mistake was that we just couldn't decide on a way to help our baby fall asleep. So, you know, some nights I, you know, we would be like, okay, we're going to try to cry it out tonight. Then, you know, the next night I'd say, oh, she's only been on earth for 6 months. I can't let her cry. And then I'd let her sleep with us. So we just went back and forth and back and forth. And because we really weren't consistent, it took us a really long time to have our first fall asleep on her own. So I think that was probably my family's biggest rookie mistake.
Is there one that you find that maybe men, and I know these are generalized and stereotype statements, but mistakes that you would see men doing as they are maybe first-time expectant fathers?
You know, I'm not sure that there's one that's gender specific. I do feel like, you know, this is, of course, a generalization, but I do feel like women probably their first jobs tended toward babysitting a little bit more than most teenage boys.
Sure.
And again, it's a generalization. But so, you know, women may just be more comfortable handling a tiny baby. And I do remember a few times where my husband picked up our newborn daughter and, like, you know, her little, you know, head on her spindly little neck was like, you know, rolling around. And I was like, Larry, you have to support the neck, you know. but all was well, and she turned out just fine.
It's such a funny thing. My family, I have a son, but I got him in the middle of the third quarter. He was 11 when I when he and I were introduced to each other. So I never had the infant. And my family will ridicule me when I hold nieces and nephews, because even if I do it right, which, you know, they make sure that I support the neck and the head and, you know, cradle right and swaddle and all the things, right? They say the look on my face and the body, like posture as I hold a baby is priceless. You can tell how not comfortable I am with it.
Well, you know, I think all of us, I think especially for those of us who have older kids, when you do hold a baby after after you've had older children, they just feel so small and so fragile. But when you are in the thick of it, you're just carrying that baby and doing everything you would normally do.
Rebecca Parlakian is the Senior Director of 0-3. Briefly, tell us about what that organization does.
0-3 is a nonprofit organization, and we provide resources for parents, for professionals working with babies and toddlers and their parents, as well as for policymakers. And so I really encourage you to check out the great parenting resources we have at 0-3.org/parenting.
Thanks for being with us.
Coming up in 5 minutes, we're going to give you some unique Father's Day gift ideas for that dad who is one of a kind.
And unknown facts, little known facts, and maybe a couple you already knew. Facts about Father's Day coming up in your Morning Buzz. You're listening to The Lisa Show.
Thanks for joining us on The Lisa Show. Are you unsure about how to make your dad feel special this Father's Day? In 20 minutes, we're going to teach you how to celebrate him in the most fun and personal way. But first, it's time for your Morning Buzz with Richie T.
Ordinarily, it's 3 things. Today, it's 10 things. 10 things you did not know. Maybe you did not know about Father's Day. Number one, Father's Day was invented by American Mrs. Sonora Smart Dodd. Wanted to honor her father, a veteran who had, as a single parent, raised his 6 children.
That's amazing.
The first Father's Day was celebrated on June 19th, 1910. Unlike Mother's Day, this is number two, by the way, for those keeping track at home. Unlike Mother's Day, Father's Day was originally met with laughter. It was the target of satire, parody, and derision, with the local newspaper complaining that it would lead to mindless promotions such as National Clean Your Desk Day,
which, by the way,
is next week. Number three, the first American president to support the concept of Father's Day was President Calvin Coolidge, who did so in 1924, but it was not until 1966, when President Lyndon B. Johnson signed a presidential proclamation that resulted in the declaration of the third Sunday of June as Father's Day.
So it's relatively new.
Number four, according to greeting card makers Hallmark, Father's Day is the 5th largest card sending holiday. Number five, in Germany, Father's Day is celebrated differently from other parts of the world. Monertag is what it's called.
Okay.
It's celebrated by getting drunk with wagons of beer and indulging in regional food. Police and emergency services are in high alert during the day. Monertag.
Oh, wow, I bet.
Number six, going for a floral gift. Traditionally, fathers should be given the gift of white or red roses.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The rose is the official flower of Father's Day. Wearing a red rose signifies a living father, while a white one represents a deceased father. Did not know that.
I didn't know that either.
Surprisingly, number seven for those keeping track at home, the trusty slipper gift isn't the most popular Father's Day present.
Okay.
What is it? Of course, it's the
tie.
Number eight, the world record for having the most number of children officially recorded.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for this?
Uh-huh, okay.
69 children.
What?
By the first wife of Fyodor Vasilev. This is 1707 to 1782. He was a peasant from Moscow. His first wife gave birth to 16 pairs of twins, 7
pairs?
Sets of triplets, and 4 sets of quadruplets.
That's so many kids.
69, to be exact. Dinner times at that. At the Vasilev household, for sure. You get to the table early at the Vasilev household, otherwise you may not have food. Number nine, although there is no evidence of its origin, it's believed that the word dad dates back to as early as the 16th century.
Hmm.
It's said to come from the first syllables uttered by babies.
Yeah.
Pa, plus the kinship ter, so pater, pater, mm-hmm. Harry Potter. No, I'm teasing.
No.
The Spanish padre and the French père takes baby talk to a new meaning, and that may be where we get dad from. And then finally, number 10, in Thailand, these are interesting facts as part of your Morning Buzz about Father's Day. Father's Day is set as the birthday of the king. December 5th is the birthday of the current king. So, king, whenever the birthday, king's birthday is, that becomes Father's Day.
Oh,
so it changes in Thailand. If you're like, hey, I'm here for Father's Day. Oh, new king! I can't celebrate this day! Happy Father's Day. That is your morning buzz.
Thanks, Richie T.
Lisa, here on the Lisa Show, I know in anticipation of Mother's Day, we spoke a lot about mothers, Mother's Day, the lowering of expectations or the eliminating of expectations.
Or the buying of gifts for oneself.
Yeah, self-care. Yeah. Don't make it sound so, you know, like that. It's just self-care.
It is what it is.
It's a great way to couch it so that you know that you get exactly what it is that you want and mothers, but within our society, it is a different flair. Now, I'm not saying it's lesser or greater or anything like that, but it is different when we look at Mother's Day compared to Father's Day.
100%. I feel like when we have conversations about it, that fathers aren't as conflicted as mothers. They're just like, great, this is awesome. They don't have a lot of high expectations and conflicting, you know, messages about what their role is, and it's just sort of a more simple summer holiday.
I think it's also just an excuse to barbecue. Whereas Mother's Day is like, let's show appreciation and all, you know, these grand gestures, and it's breakfast in bed, and it's all this. And I think fathers are like, can we eat outside?
It's a weird thing. We have this assumption that all dads like to barbecue.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
Yeah.
I'm sure not. Like, statistically, not all fathers want to barbecue, but if you go into any store or watch any commercial or any sort of ad for Father's Day, it's going to be like a manly apron and some barbecues and
and funny saying across that apron, by the way,
exactly,
too. Don't forget
like,
that.
Don't forget the fathers in your life. They're going to want a polo shirt and a barbecue and and that's where, you know, that you fill in their product, whether it's like socks or a wallet.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the guy, the dad who has no interest in barbecue and or a golf shirt and or a tie is like, all right, it's Father's Day. So might we suggest, as we are a little less, or I guess just a little bit more than 2 weeks away from Father's Day, some things to put on your mind that you might be able to celebrate Father's Day with. Are you ready for this?
I'm so ready.
Number one, and I think this is the one that I think is universal. I think this could apply to Mother's Day as well.
Oh,
so
good.
Maybe they made this list and then they just scratched out of the top Mother's Day and put in
Why
Father's.
Not?
The number one is share your favorite stories with your dad, taking the opportunity online or in person to share those favorite stories.
And bonus points for writing it down or putting it in a photo album, or, you know, like having it be a kind of a keepsake for your entire family.
Recording a video.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you record yourself on Zoom and just send it. You could do it on your phone, send the little message and just have it audio, whatever it is.
Don't wait to share those really special stories about the impact and the influence of the fathers and father figures in your life and what lessons you've taken away, because they can't read your mind.
Yeah. And I appreciate that you said the father figures as well, because oftentimes, again, within the comparison to Mother's Day, I feel like we incorporate everyone who, you know, maybe like that bonus mom or the extra mom, or wanted to be a mom but isn't, but is a great aunt or great neighbor or teacher or whatever the thing. Remember that the dads have feelings too.
Yeah, why not?
How about this one? Spend the day with your dad. Now, will you be with Robert Valentine for Father's Day? Is that a thing? Does he call all the Valentine children underneath his wings and say,
I'll go over and say hi. If I spent the entire day with him, I don't know what he would do with me, but but I would.
You don't know. Hold on. That's actually not what my dad wants.
Not the entire day. Yeah. But yeah, like we will share a meal and talk and laugh. I'd love that.
This is one that I particularly actually honor and cherish as an older, you know, as an adult, which I sometimes feel uncomfortable with calling myself that. But making a handmade card as an adult for your
Will you do
adult,
that?
Well, I don't know, but I have done it in the past.
Yeah.
And it's pretty fun to be like just horrible stick figure, you know, drawing of my dad.
Well, here's the thing, though, for me, my daughter made me a homemade card.
Mm-hmm.
And she painted it.
Oh,
and
cool.
It was like a realistic look of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really cool and intricate. I love it. I'll keep it forever.
Sure, sure, sure.
Do you know what
sure.
I'm saying? So, you know, you could do that.
Yeah, but your daughter is a child still.
No, she's 18.
The grown daughter. Okay.
This is what I'm talking about.
Okay.
It, like, don't overthink it. I think it's great. You could make a homemade card. No father's going to go, what's this? Try again. No, they're going to be so excited.
I'll have to find this because I've told you about this picture, but I got to dig it up and be able to get it for my dad for Father's Day. You know the American Gothic photo? Now, if people don't know, this is the ma and pa and one's holding the...
It's actually at the pa and a daughter. But...
Oh, it's pa and a daughter. Yeah, but I think
but
we
everyone
look
assumes,
at it that it's husband and wife. Well, it's a man and a woman.
Yeah.
And anyway.
Yeah, with the pitchfork.
With the pitchfork and the sort of stoic look on their faces. Well, when I was in high school, my dad and I, he came as a show, not chauffeur, chaperone was the word I was looking for, on our choir tour. And we were at one of those outdoor malls where you could get your faces put into the face of a famous painting or whatever. And my dad and I got our photo in American Gothic, and
that's amazing.
I play the woman, and he plays the man, and it's so funny. But printing the pictures
that
you have, right? And especially in a day and age when so many of our photos are on our phone, will stay on our phone, we'll never get them off of our phone, why not take the opportunity and just go through and find them?
1 year, I gave a photo of my dad's mother and father, so my paternal grandparents, kind of an unusual photo that I'd found when they were sort of younger, like when they were like in their 20s, and I had it printed, you know, a nice quality paper, and then had it framed and gave it to him, and that was a home run, you know, to have pictures of his parents who, you know, are both gone. For him, and it's still in his office. And so if you can find old family photos and things like that and memories, that is a really good gift, I think.
And you'd be surprised too when you're looking for old family photos, you're like, I don't know where that is. There may be a relative because of genealogy and availability online where you could go in and just download something that someone else has put up there.
Yep.
And then it's a complete surprise as opposed to, hey Dad, where are the boxes of photos? Why?
No reason.
And be able to get something like that. Okay. How about offering to help around the house?
Yeah.
Every dad has that chore that he has to do that does not want to be done by the father. You know, whether it's toilets, whether it's you got to fix a thing, or maybe you just need company while you're doing the thing.
Yeah.
Weeding the garden.
Maybe you just need some help while you sit down and call the plumber.
Yeah.
Because it's okay. Not all dads know how to fix stuff.
They all know how to barbecue and they all know how to fix stuff.
That's so funny.
We're giving suggestions for Father's Day gifts, ideas.
Just
not necessarily the tangible things.
Those ideas just generated so you don't hurry and panic shop the day before.
Because Father's Day sneaks up on us.
Yeah.
How about this? You could do breakfast in bed like you did for mom.
Think
of that. That's an auto thing for mom. Do we think about it as often for
now,
dad?
If commercials tell him anything, guys like lots of breakfast meats for Father's Day.
Just bring me a plate of bacon.
A lot of bacon.
Yeah. I love that we both have the same dad voice.
Yeah.
It's the dad voice that resides right here.
So funny.
How about having a movie night? That's
kind of
a fun thing.
Absolutely.
Especially as the weather warms up, if you do the projector on the side of your house or an outdoor movie, a great way to be able to celebrate something like that. Or one of the things that I really love is coupons, the unique homemade coupons. This is great for kids to dads, especially because it can be like, clean my room, do the thing that you tell me to. But it also can be great between spouses as well as you celebrate Father's Day. Other things that dads like that society has told me, puzzles.
Oh, okay.
Do you do a puzzle with your dad?
No.
No?
I've never done a puzzle with my
dad. Ever?
Not once.
Now is the time.
Is it?
Listen, you don't want to look.
I don't
think
my dad and I could focus that long on something.
It's not about the puzzle.
Oh.
It's about the time together.
Yeah, well, we spend time together.
Okay, but not doing puzzles.
No.
Yeah, we used to do puzzles all the time.
And we're not a game family.
In our household, what happened was the big pride was putting in the last puzzle piece. Mm. And so when the whole family sits down to do a puzzle together, everyone, if you can observe and watch their sleight of hand, will take a puzzle piece and stick it in their pocket so that when we get to the very end of the puzzle, we all do this thing, and it's hilarious. I don't know where the other puzzle pieces are, and each of us have the one last puzzle piece in our hand and wait so that we can be the last one. It's the dumbest thing.
But you like a good puzzle, though.
But a great way to be with family.
Yeah, exactly.
And the more pieces, the better. 5,000, bring it.
You want to
spend several days with your father for Father's Day? Why not that? A scavenger hunt? Send your dad on a scavenger hunt? I like the things that we think are for kids.
I'm just imagining
for dads.
My dad trying to do it. Like, what is that? Why are we? No, I mean, it's just, listen, this is why we're giving a lot of different suggestions. Not everyone is going to hit for your particular dad. But that's so great because you know what your dad would like.
How about a mini vacation?
That's a good one.
Either you sneak your dad away and you guys go on a mini vacation, or you send mom and dad away on a little mini vacation and go do a thing. You guys never take the opportunity. Why not go do something like that? How about a family-friendly competition?
Oh.
And dad gets to be the first pick on the draft. You get all the family gathered together and find out which one is dad's favorite. And dad picks, you know, older sibling and then the younger sibling. And you're left standing there and you're like, Dad, I'm still here.
I think you're getting a little too personal there. You're okay. Making me uncomfortable.
All right. Maybe there's some
maybe
other.
Maybe your dad would pick you first.
Maybe he would. Social media post. A common thing that a lot of people kind of do nowadays is taking the opportunity to take that goofy picture of dad and be able to share it and say, this is the way that I love being able to celebrate Father's Day. How about going to ancestral locations?
Maybe where
he grew up. If you live nearby where your dad was raised, mm-hmm. Being able to say, tell me about this. Did you ever play over here? What were the neighbors there?
Yeah.
And get to know them, because those are stories that will oftentimes be left with dad if you don't ever get the opportunity to hear them. Bake a Father's Day treat.
That's a good one.
I'm not sure what in particular is a Father's Day treat as opposed to just a treat, but you know what?
Well, in my mind, you ask your dad, and then that's a way to connect with your dad, and then you can make the treat. Maybe you could do it together.
Yeah, and you get the treat. So, yeah. I mean, at the end
it's
of the
win-win-win.
Day, I've never met a dad who didn't like a treat. How about do some crazy science experiments? Hey,
what?
Dad!
Now, wait a second. I'm going to...
Listen.
No, I'm putting my foot down. That is not one. Don't do a crazy science experiment with your dad.
It's on my list of great Father's Day ideas.
I want to edit that one.
Okay.
That's just a weird thing to do with your dad, but it's not Father's Day.
How about play in the water?
No, we're not doing that.
Look, it is on my list. I'll give you one more. How about this? You know how dad has that hobby? That hobby that you're like, oh, that's the thing dad does. Dad's going to go do that
mm-hmm.
thing. That's what dad likes to do. I don't want to go do that with dad. That's
Is
dad's
it
thing.
Yeah.
No, it's science experiments.
No, it's not. I guarantee.
Join your dad on his favorite hobby. Just
that's
go
great.
With him and say, yeah, you know what, Dad? I don't enjoy this, but I do enjoy spending time with you. Happy Father's Day. Coming up, we're going to get some new ideas to make sure our dads feel truly appreciated this Father's Day.
Thank you for listening to The Lisa Show.
If you're looking for a great place for education, inspiration, and motivation, well, you found it. It's The Lisa Show.
Father's Day is the day we celebrate those men in our life who love a good man cave, a nice silk tie, than anything else, love and serve their family and friends.
Okay.
So while this day can be sensitive for those who do not, haven't been able to become a father or who are grieving a loss or have a strained relationship with their own father, it's still a great day to celebrate the men making a difference in our lives and the lives of others. So whether you're celebrating your own father or a father figure, we want to give you some ideas to make their day a special one. So to help us out, we've invited Marley Major, the party goddess, friend of The Lisa Show, on today to talk with us. So welcome, Marley. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start simple, because I think sometimes we, build up these ideas and ways to celebrate and they get out of control. So what are some small ways we can make the dads in our lives feel really special?
Well, one of the things that I think is can't be overestimated these days. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, let's face it, we've just come off a pandemic. Hopefully we're off of it.
Yeah.
Or, heading in the right direction at least. And I think what it, the last year has done is it's caused everybody to kind of reevaluate their priorities, right? So let's start with the people that, that have a dad that they can see via Zoom or see in person. And let's face it, the most touching things are, you know, photos or something from like the heartfelt card from the past, or kind of putting like a montage together of even, and it doesn't have to be even electronic. Like, why not just make a little booklet of, you know, copies of photos and stuff and just wrap it up and be like, these are the, my most special memories, you know, of you. So something can be really basic and non-electronic and just like simple, right?
Yeah.
And then of course you can go to the next level, like the digital level. And you could do things with like, have a Zoom party with your, with the kids and the grandkids or whoever wants to participate, and everybody on Zoom has to show a photo or share a fun memory of like with dad or with grandpa. But then for, I love that you address people that, that, you know, let's face it, have a, not everybody has a great relationship with their dad. Not everybody even knows their dad, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't mean that like, oh, okay, now Father's Day or Mother's Day has to be this depressing day. I mean, why not just pick somebody and honor them, even if it's a surprise, you know, and you, you send them on Father's Day a special tribute and just be like, I picked you, you know, and thank you for, and you spell it out. Because I think sometimes the most meaningful things really are when somebody says, hey, when you did this, this, and this, it meant so much. Because I think sometimes we don't know, you know, how things touch us, and it's really nice. And why not have it be an adoptive father, or why not have it, whether it's a mentor or a father or just somebody who's important, and you celebrate that person that day. And you can pick somebody different every year, or you can focus on that person.
You know, Marley, something that I enjoyed that we talked about when we were having the discussion around Mother's Day, and Lisa sort of laid, just laid it out on the table. She said the best thing that people can do to celebrate Mother's Day is something. Literally anything.
Oh my God. I
and
love that. Yeah, I forgot about that.
And that would be something. And for whatever reason, there seems to be a disparity between Mother's Day and Father's Day. And I'm not really sure why that is.
Well, I don't know if it's because everybody goes, all they're so hard on Mother's Day that a month later, we're just like, oh, whatever, I don't even care. If dad is like kind of harder to celebrate in some ways, I don't know. I feel like moms, maybe because I am one of three and spend so much time telling my kids the things I like and the things they could be doing, that maybe they have better ideas, and maybe the dads aren't like whining all the time, you know, about if you only did this. So I'm not sure, or if it's like, you know, if it really is kind of a gender thing where it's like, oh, celebrate because she's done so much and dad kind of gets kicked to the curb. But you're exactly right. The bottom line of this whole thing should be, do something and dot, 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 don't have it involve a tie.
Yeah.
You know, because
it's make just, a better choice than that.
Make a better choice. I mean, there are so many things you can do. And my default lately is the bookstore. When was the last time you actually went to a bookstore? I'm not kidding you. You go to the bookstore and wander, and be, you will come up with so many ideas, not a digital book, just go to the bookstore, wander the aisles that you think your dad might be interested in. I promise you, you'll come up with something every time.
Okay.
And then you're probably supporting something local. So shout out to all local bookstores. But I'm a huge one with just going back to, and it doesn't, it could be like a history novel. You know what I mean? It could be something that he's really interested in, or it could be something lighthearted, like, you know, he loves beer and wants to, you know, thinks he's a closet brewmaster. Well, go get like three books on that or something, so that you're really, I think it's like another big thing is showing that you've paid attention, you know, not like I heard you when you said you used to do this in college and you always wanted to get back to it, you know, that kind of thing. And
just, I like that. I heard you.
Yeah. Well, you know, because we spend so much time talking, pot, meat, kettle, and not necessarily as much time listening to what the person would actually want.
One of the things that I really appreciate, and I don't know if this is because of the onslaught of things like Pinterest or just the internet in general, is sort of these thematic parties, and where you are, in fact, the party goddess, Marlee Major. When we look to celebrate beyond the gift for the fathers or father figures in our life, maybe we could spend a couple minutes talking about a Father's Day themed celebration, what that might look like, maybe decorations or... and maybe I'm going out on a limb and going to find that there's nothing underneath me, but father's inspired food choices, he said with a question mark in his voice.
Question mark like, oh, I hope, please don't let my parachute stop. And maybe because of my ADHD, I like everything in buckets. Like to me, it's like go big or go home with something so that it becomes so obvious what the theme is, right? And so parties are no different. And I think if people just kind of keep thinking of it as the details, 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 and take it to the nth degree. So let's say you're doing a virtual watch party and you know, you do it like Netflix or Amazon Prime or something where everybody can watch it together. And, you know, you pick a movie, but then pick a movie and go all out. Like if it's The Godfather, right? Like send something of, you know, make sure everybody in their virtual spots, wherever they are, that everybody's eating Italian food, you know?
Everyone's invitation comes in the form of a horse head in their bed. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
The family show, okay? But I'm just trying to say.
Oh, my gosh.
But you get it. Like
you are cordially invited. And don't upset my family.
Maybe that's not the best idea, except that those are the kind of movies, like, let's say that dad might... Okay, so let's pick something more novel. I mean, we can't talk about, like, My Pink Pony, but you get it. The idea is come up with the dad's favorite... And if it is, like, the baseball-themed movie or something, have the popcorn. Have the, you know, just all the different things that you would think you would do or have at a baseball game. Or that... And pick one component to the movie and have that be the whole theme. And I think that's the big deal, is just whether you invite somebody via a text. I mean, these days there's so many apps where you can just, you know, create a super cute invite and just text a screenshot, which I've done a million times to people, and like, hey, be there, be square, and it can have the Zoom info, but have it be right along the theme from the very beginning, because I think that's what gets people excited. And then that goes to the whole point of what we were talking about before, is like, pay attention, you know, listen and be like, oh my God, that was my favorite drink, or that was my favorite, or I love Italian food, or something like that.
You know, when often we run into all the problems of, I don't want anything, I don't need anything, you know, I don't want to do anything.
Right. Okay, well, just ignore that.
Okay, good. That was my big question, is like, you can't not do something, like Richie said before, like we're really big into just do something. It doesn't have to be big.
Oh my God. Well, and here's, my dad is the classic one with that. And I'll tell you right now, if you forgot Father's Day, you know, you would have a horse head, you know, showing up on your front door. But the thing is, then if the person's doing anything on anything, to me, what that means is I can't think of anything I want, right?
Yeah, but it must be.
That's where you have to go back to listening, right? So one of the things that my dad is always like, I don't know what it is. Not that he's always cold. It's not like he's like frail, but he always just likes things warm, right? So, like, one year I got him, like, the heater that he could have, like, right next to his desk. And he was ecstatic. It's so dumb. Like,
actually really sweet. Yeah.
Right? And the thing is that, like, then one year he got, like, one of those cozies, like, one of those ridiculous things that I now swear by. I think it's called a cozy that you... It's like a blanket, basically, with a poncho.
Oh, I know exactly
and
what it is.
It's like a blanket poncho meets sweatshirt.
A snuggie. Snuggie or cozies? What are they called?
Well, maybe it is a snuggie.
A snuggie.
A snuggie. It might be a snuggie, a cozy, a, you know, whoopee. I don't know, but he was ecstatic. And they are literally the most comfortable things. It is like putting on a blanket. But here's the thing. That gets the biggest smile ever. Why? Because you listened. You knew he was all cold. And my mom always wants it. She doesn't want the heat turned up a billion degrees. So it's like those simple things that, like, if this is the case, I think this is where dads get in trouble. Because, like, on Mother's Day, what do? They give the mom the vacuum cleaner because, like, oh, she's always complaining about housework. Okay, backfire big time. But for dad, I do think the practical, hey, you solved a problem gift, is magic.
So
it's kind of reverse logic, right? Like, And if we think about it, you know, women, like, you know, men versus women, and a lot of times men, if you ask them for advice, they're like, okay, and then do this, this, and this. And you're like, but all I want to do is cry. Please just listen.
Yeah.
But in this case, solve the problem for them, whatever the problem is. I mean, maybe it's like they always lose their keys. So, you know, or they always lose their phone. So you get that app, which is like, you know, how to find your phone. Or maybe they never have reading glasses. So you get them, you know, a dozen reading glasses from Amazon, and you tuck them in the car, in the next to the bed, like everywhere, with a just a little note that says "I love you." I mean, that doesn't cost very much, but every time he sees them, it's going to be amazing.
I do like that because it is so personal, and then it's individual. It doesn't have to be a right. huge thing, but it
no,
but it can have like a lasting effect. I do love that.
Totally. And then every time they use it, and it some of those things like make the biggest difference.
Yeah.
And I mean, then there are a ton of other ways you can celebrate. I mean, like my dad loves to play cards, or, you know, some families like play games. Well, now the great thing is there's so many ways you can do that. You can do it virtually. You can do it together. If your dad, and I think it's just kind of about sort of what we talked about the theme party where you just go deeper and deeper and deeper and just, you know, have it all be themed out. Well, I think if you're going to do a game that, you know, he loves, or a game that you guys used to play as kids even, or something like that, then give it the full 2 hours or whatever to play life, or to play whatever you guys use, Monopoly, you know, with nobody trying to be on their phones, nobody, like, just be in the moment and play. And I think things like that, because we don't ever take time to do that. So it's like, oh my God, I got to go here. My phone is buzzing. I get this out of the oven. It's just, oh my gosh, just stop and be present and, you know, cut the noise and focus on Boardwalk and, you know, your Monopoly.
You know, it's exactly. reached that part of the conversation where I drop a genius idea for you, Marlene,
oh,
if I may.
I can't wait. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I heard of this. This was for I believe a Father's Day, but it might have been for a Mother's Day celebration. But the idea was this family had a small pocket of kids. I think it was either 4 or 5 or 6 kids. And what they did was they created very loosely the set of This Is Your Life. Do you remember that old TV show?
Yes. Oh, what a great idea.
And so they recorded it. And so each of the kids knew that they had to take 2 segments of this pretend sort of game show, and they told stories about, you know, growing up with that parent, and, you know, the lesson that they learned, or the time that they got caught doing the thing, and then the parent had to guess, you know, whether or not it was that child or if it was one of the other child.
That and is so
it
cute.
Was a great time for people to reminisce, and also as the family sort of gathered, some things were learned about siblings that they had no idea, like you got in trouble for that, or the oldest didn't get away with something that the youngest always was able to.
Yeah.
And so that. So This Is Your Life for a Father's Day or Mother's Day celebration.
That is a good idea.
I haven't put it on Pinterest yet.
Well, pause for space and identification, because that was like the one idea that actually was good. I mean, that was something
Marley.
Hey, listen, I'm just kind of kidding. But, you know, sometimes that's like a really... Like, that distracted me for a minute. Like, I was taking notes on that and going, that is a really great freaking idea. And so, yeah, I would Pinterest that all day long. It's really, really, I mean, maybe patent it if you could, because it's a great idea, but it's kind of a great summary of everything we talked about, right?
Yep.
Where it's like,
yeah,
you know, so like showing dad what you know, appreciated, and bringing everybody together. I think the other thing too, my mom would always say for Mother's Day is like, you know, when somebody say like, well, what do you want, Mom? She'd be like, I just don't want you guys to fight. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, just, my God, can it for one day.
Yeah.
And I think that we can keep that in mind, too, for dad is just not every sibling and every family and everybody, you know, and every person, every family gets along. But, like, today, let's all get along and be, like, show the united front.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that alone is a really huge.
Well said.
Yes.
Marley Major is the CEO of The Party Goddess. She, in fact, is The Party Goddess. And you can follow her on social media at The Party Goddess, where you can find if she's going to steal my idea and share it with everyone as if it is her own. And I give you permission to do that. Make sure that you follow at The Party Goddess on all of the social medias. You can follow and find Marley. Marley, great to have you back on the show teaching us how to party better.
Great to be here.
my kids had some of their friends over after a rehearsal, a musical rehearsal.
So many questions already, but please.
I, in that moment, was thinking, oh, I remember when I was a high school sophomore. I wish I could go back and talk to myself at that age and, I don't know, give myself some advice or whatever, and just kind of see if I still had the same sense of humor or a similar one. I don't know. I just it's a weird idea, but it would be fun to talk around, you know, the dinner table with your family of that. Of like, what age would you like to go back in time and talk to yourself at?
So what I immediately thought, and this is just so horrible, I thought, you know, I'd like to go and talk to my eighth grade self so that my eighth grade self would have a friend that he could talk to.
Richie, that breaks my heart. Yeah,
but
why is eighth grade the worst, by the way?
It was the
Can we all just acknowledge that eighth grade is the worst for everyone?
It was the literal worst.
We have these conversations, you know, on this show, some with, you know, neurologists or social scientists that talk about how when you have like these sorts of vulnerable conversations with other people and talk about how you had a rough year or rough times and how you got through it, that it builds resilience and grit in your kids or the people that you have or your friends that you have the conversations with. So I think it's worth having the conversation for that reason. But, oh, man, poor Rick.
I will say this, and so to hopefully dig us out of this terrible story of despair.
I just thought it would be funny, but you took it to a really dark place.
I will be nothing but authentic because I don't feel like it suits us if I say, it's totally fine. But eighth grade, like I said, you know, the scenario of parents divorce, new school, new neighborhood, new church community, new all these things, and didn't really know what to do, couldn't find my way. And so it demonstrated in some ways. Long hair was part of it. Mm-hmm. I went to thrift stores and bought like corduroy three-piece suits and bell-bottomed pants.
So you didn't make it any easier on yourself.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. Because I just felt like, if I can't fit in, I'm going to own that I am the one that is choosing why I can't fit in, right? Like, you don't get to pick whether I'm part of it. I'm picking, and I'm opting out of this whole thing. And I can remember very distinctly, this is at the end of the year, and this is the hopes to actually bring some light into this whole thing.
Okay, good, I like that.
There was a teacher, and this woman stops me in the hallway, and she says, hey, I just want you to know that in your year here, I have watched you from afar. I want you to know that I have seen you here at this school, and I want you to know that I think that you are going to do amazing things with your life, and I'm excited to have you come about and be able to do those things.
Coming up next, we're going to discuss the simplest way to give your life renewed direction. Thank you for listening to The Lisa Show.
The Lisa Show is happening now.
It's happening now.
With Lisa Valentine Clark and Richie T. It's The Lisa Show.
What are you doing to celebrate Juneteenth tomorrow? Coming up in 20 minutes, we're going to learn how to recognize our subconscious biases on this day commemorating equality. Then coming up in your morning buzz, we're going to celebrate this new national holiday, and we've got some great ideas for you. Sometimes we go through life operating under sort of a life motto or a phrase that we have repeated in our head, knowingly or unknowingly. And I think it really informs the way that we sort of move ahead. And so if you don't have a life motto or a kind of a guiding principle, it might be worth considering not only why you might want one, but what it could be. It's fun to talk about. And so here to enter into this conversation is a friend of the show. She happens to be my little sister, Gina James. Welcome and thanks for coming to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so I can see your face because I purposefully didn't ask you about this ahead of time.
Yeah, that's
and
becoming very apparent.
Because I wanted a real honest response. And I think sometimes we operate just according to sort of like ideas that we have, and whether they come from our family of origin or whether they come from our education or a desire to be a certain way, we function without really thinking about these things. And I think it's such an interesting idea. I was reading an article this past week about someone who had kind of like wanted to change their life. And so they changed their motto about how they live. And then it helped them become who they really are. I also know that we talk about this idea a lot at the beginning of the year, because the newest trend in the last few years of, instead of making New Year's resolutions, is to choose a word of inspiration to guide that year. And to kind of remember that and talk that. So there's a lot of different ways to interpret that. So I want you to think about, do I have a life motto or a guiding principle that helps me in my life, whether I know it or not? And I'm wondering how that affects what it is you do. And I'll go first, because I know that I've put you on the spot. So recently I have been thinking about this idea of how, you know, you kind of change during your lives. And I've been very honest, you know, on the show about, you know, this last year has been really difficult. My husband has been gone now for a little bit over a year. And so I thought a lot about his life and what it kind of meant and how he wanted to remember. And then over the last year, then I've been thinking about what kind of guiding principles I want, you know, my kids to remember me from, or how just I want to live, not even at the end of my life, but just like right now. And what sort of phrases that I have just kind of popping into my head. When I found myself really overwhelmed with a lot of little kids, and it became very clear to me that the way that I wanted to mother wasn't going to happen. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I fully remember this. When you said life motto, the first thing I thought was what you had gone to. So yeah, tell everyone where this came from. This is great.
Here's the big reveal. I'm ambitious. I got a lot of energy. I'm a glass half full kind of gal. And I found myself smacked with the reality of daily living with five little kids.
Who were crazy, I might add. Her oldest two were young, active, very enthusiastic, very physical boys.
They're so sweet.
They're so sweet, but they were crazy.
And then you add another one and another one and another one.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, yeah, Richie likes to say I have a million kids, but
it was a significant amount of children.
I had a moment where I was like, okay, so now my idea of the sort of Donna Reed kind of mother that I thought, where my house is clean and I am wearing it clean
the
clothes
apron on.
And an apron and dinner is every night at five or whatever. I don't even remember, which is so funny. I don't even remember what it was I was shooting for, but it wasn't going to happen. So
it was all kids clean at the same time.
Yeah, I don't think that ever happened.
Yeah.
But so my motto became at that time, lower the bar and be awesome. And I used to just say that in my head of like, you got it. Sometimes it's okay to lower the bar and just be awesome. Just enjoy where you are, when you're at, where you're at, with who you're with. And don't let your idea of how you think things should be interfere with the relationship that you have with your kids, right?
Well, because the fun thing is the kids come with their own opinions. So you think,
that is
fun. I'm going to have a cute little piano player. I'm going to have a little fancy dancer.
And maybe an Olympic athlete then a Mensa member. You know, I'm going to have one of each. And then you're just like
a savant. And then you're like, oh, they're just kids and they just want to like
eat
dirt.
So for a long time, that was lower the bar and be awesome. I'm sort of out of that phase now and just kind of like looking ahead. And there's certain different other phrases that have rattled around in my brain. But I wanted to get a perspective of how other people do this.
Well, so when you said that, because I remember you were actually very intentional when your children were younger, and you're a few years ahead of me in beginning to have children and having children. So mine are just a little bit behind that. And it was so great. Before I had children, I had a lot of really strong opinions about parenting.
Yeah, same.
I have a sister-in-law, and she would just laugh when I would come over and watch their kids and say, well, why do they do this? Maybe they should do, you know, and she
it's
just
It's amazing she still wants to be friends with you.
No, she is obligated to. I'm married to her brother. But she's been very generous over the years to allow me that, you know, as an you know, and even as a young parent where I just, again, like you, had those ideas of things. But once I heard that phrase of yours, it really made me think, okay, what do I want for my children? Mm-hmm. And so I kind of intentionally didn't have a phrase. I had some friends that got together and had a family motto and everything, which I think is great. But until I kind of saw how the kids were developing, I couldn't really do that. But one phrase I did adopt yes. fairly early on, and this sounds so silly, but it actually helps, is after Finding Nemo came out, and Dory would say, just keep swimming. And I don't know why, it was maybe at a time when my children were young, and that just kind of stuck in my head. It's, nope, we just plug ahead. Whatever's happening, you just keep swimming.
Going.
You just keep going. So it's just kind of that forward movement, I guess, is what I adopted for a long time. Is, you know, even if the children aren't living up to my expectations of either how I would be as a mother or how children are, we just kept moving in a forward direction. And I think keeping it positive that way helped me to see what they were doing and just like, oh, this is their interest. Okay, well, let's move that forward. So,
oh, I see what you're saying. So I'm wondering, too, is this something that you think about intentionally every day, or is it just something that pops up into your head?
It pops up, especially in the hard times.
Huh.
But so since, and I think I've talked about this on the show before, but for those who haven't heard, in the last few years, my children are to a point, you know, most of them are preteens and teenagers. Mm-hmm. And so I want to give them, you know, some purpose or something to reach for. And so jokingly one day in a family meeting that we had, again, it was at the beginning of the school year, setting goals and things, is I just said, you know what, you guys, we need to strive for excellence. And it started out as a complete joke. It was, you
like,
know,
were you just being cheesy? Is that
what
you mean?
I was asking them for their opinion and no one was giving me any.
Oh, good.
It was that. And so I said, okay, fine. Our family motto is going to be strive for excellence. And they're like, major eye rolls. And, oh, Mom, that's so dumb. That's so such a cliche. It's mm-hmm. such a joke, right? It's so silly. But it stuck.
Really?
Yes. So my daughter, my oldest daughter, was very artistic, just took it and was, you know, not paying attention. So she drew it very beautifully on a little 3x5 card and just stuck it up on the bulletin board in the kitchen. And it has stayed. And it's so funny because the kids will tease each other if they're doing something that is not excellent.
Strive for excellence.
Yeah. You know, when we're talking about grades or, hey, did you turn that assignment in? You know.
Really?
Yeah. And they'll bug each other and say, is that striving for excellence? And I'll tell you what, it's become our family motto.
That's so funny. It's like an accidental family motto. You know, I think it's really interesting. And if you're just joining in on the conversation, we're talking to a friend of the show who happens to be my little sister, Gina James, about life mottos and what influences us as we move forward and how we can be like a little bit more intentional about it. I appreciate you sharing that because it's interesting that the mottos are the things that we tell ourselves, like lower the bar and be awesome or just keep swimming. When you have little kids, sort of it changes and morphs when your kids get older or when your life situation changes, right? And you're sort of searching for that. I also wanted to ask about the idea of other people's mottos sort of influencing you without sort of taking it on, right? So I have a friend who she is a little bit older than me, but we're very close. And I heard her talk once about how she doesn't care about like equity and family, but she just wants to be the one who loves the most. Mm. And if there was a contest or a way to sort of rate, which is such an awful word, but you know, sometimes we sort of balance relationships in our head, right? Like yeah. whether it's with a spouse or with our kids or with our friends of like, I think I'm putting the more of the effort in, or I think I care more than they do, or her motto and idea just sort of that she has shared over time has been, I'll be the one that loves the most, or I want to, or that's the goal. I want to be the one that shows. And so then that affects a lot of things that she does, which I had never thought of it or heard. I think I heard about it like maybe I want to say like 7 years ago. So kind of recent, but kind of a long time. But I am amazed by how many times I think about her saying that. Like, because it solves so many problems in conflicting relationships. And it also focuses sort of your idea on what the objective is in any given case. And so I'm also wondering if you have heard other people say phrases or words that for whatever reason have stuck with you in sort of an odd way and wouldn't be like a formal, oh, this is my life motto, because, you know, the last thing we need to do is give each other like assignments over, okay, now we need to write a family motto. Now I need a guiding principle in my life. Oh, great. I'm already behind, you know, now I have to do that. No, it's just anecdotally, just bring attention to those things that are rattling around in your brain and look at them and look at how they influence what it is you do and see.
Well, I really like that. And I like your friend's motto because you can only focus on the things that you can do.
Yeah.
You can always only, this is my input, right? I can't affect what the output is, but this is my input. So I have a friend that their family motto, which is has been formalized, is no empty chairs. And so I think that that means to them that we are always a family and we're always working together on a goal. And it's a large family, 7 children.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's like there's no one that's going to be left out. There's no one that, for whatever reason, we're not going to love. And
oh,
I like
yeah.
that because it keeps, because it takes away, I think often, especially in today's world, our kids can feel so much pressure.
Yeah.
And that's why my striving for excellence, it's not, you have to be excellent. It's
well,
and
just, I just said lower the bar, so. ours are kind of the opposite.
Well, no, we're trying to. But there's a
it was
striving
more for me than for my kids. They, listen, let's be clear. They need to raise the bar. No,
they need to strive for some excellence. Send them
yeah, to
Gina.
Your house.
Nah, though, too much pressure. No, but that's the thing is I tried to take that pressure off. But I think, you know, no empty chairs, that really talks about, hey, let's try to include everyone. Let's accept everybody for what they have to bring to the table and take that pressure off. You
yeah,
know,
no matter what.
No matter what.
You belong here.
Yeah.
I love
and
that.
And I think of that often too because I love that. You want everyone in your family and your friends and those that you come in contact with to feel like, no, I have a place here. And one that you'll remember a phrase that we grew up with.
Yeah.
That's not really a family motto per se, but I guess
an
it
idea
is.
An idea rattling around
an
in your
idea
brain.
Rattling around our brain always. Is our parents had a sign up in our house growing up that said, no put downs. This is a safe place.
Yeah.
And I love that it reminds me to make my home a haven, to make my home a safe place for whoever comes in, you know, for my children or for anyone else that
you won't be bullied or ridiculed or, you know.
Well, you will because you have siblings.
Well,
but it will
I mean
be
in a mean way, but, not in a loving
but
TV
not,
way.
Right. But it won't be. But it's still a safe place. You know, nobody's going to hold that against you for the rest of your life.
Just, it's an interesting idea. We are all affected by each other and we're all connected in ways that maybe we are not conscious about. So it would be an interesting like family discussion to sit down when you're having dinner and to ask, you know, what do you think that are the principles or even the phrases that we live by? What do you want them to be? Because that's an exciting part is that you can always change. Gina, thank you so much for sharing your perspective here and for taking the time to be here. Gina, friend of the Lisa Show, thanks so much.
No problem. Thanks.
I want to take a complete different shift right now.
Oh, yeah.
Because it is Friday, because we have waited for it, because likely the click-clack of your fingers on your keyboard has been going crazy all week long trying to win a family annual National Parks Pass from Lisa's Adventure Club. I think that it's time.
It is.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
I'm ready. You're ready.
I'm ready.
Let's do this.
Hello.
Hi, is Greg there?
This is Greg.
Hi, Greg. This is Lisa from The Lisa Show. How are you doing?
Fine, thanks.
Good. Hey, I am calling to let you know that you're a winner and you have won an annual National Parks Pass as part of Lisa's Adventure Club.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Where are you in this great country of ours?
In Idaho, Nampa, Idaho.
Oh, that's awesome. So what's your favorite national park?
Hmm. I don't know, Yellowstone's mostly the one we've ever been to.
Uh-huh. Well, that's exciting. Well, thank you for listening to The Lisa Show and for entering for a chance to win. I'm excited for you. Who are you going to bring along with you when you go to these?
My wife.
Well, that's so great. Thanks again and congratulations.
All right. Thank you.
Now, coming up next, we're going to tell you what you can do to start treating everyone more equitably. And coming up in your morning buzz, we've got different ways to celebrate this new national holiday. Thank you for listening to The Lisa Show. Thank you for listening to The Lisa Show. Now, are you looking for something new to watch? Well, in 20 minutes, we're going to tell you about all the brand new shows that are worth checking out this weekend on all your streaming services. But first, it's time for your morning buzz with Lisa V. That's right. I'm giving it a shot. I'm taking my chance. I'm talking about the morning buzz here. You know, three things that you can really talk about at that water cooler. You know, you're gathering with your friends and you're thinking, what are we going to talk about? Well, this is what everybody's talking about. And today we're talking about Juneteenth. It's also known as Freedom Day, Liberation Day, and Emancipation Day. And it marks the day when federal troops arrived in Galveston, Texas on June 19th, 1865, to ensure that African Americans still enslaved were freed following both the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation and the end of the Civil War. So for a special buzz this morning, we wanted to talk about, not only what it is, but the history of Juneteenth and what we can do to mark this day. So the history is the advance by Union General Gordon Granger came 30 months and 19 days after President Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation on January 1st, 1863, which had declared all persons held as slaves within any states or designated part of the state, the people whereof shall be in rebellion against the United States, shall be then thenceforth and forever free. Now, what really happened? Well, with the seven Confederate states operating under their own president, slaves in the South weren't exactly free to go. It would take another 2 months after Robert E. Lee surrendered in April of 1865 that troops would arrive in Galveston to free the final 250,000 people enslaved there. And most left the area despite a message from Union troops that they could stay and work for their employer in owners as employees. And a few months later, in December of 1865, the 13th Amendment to the Constitution was ratified and abolished slavery. So thirdly, what can we do? Well, today, states across the country are scrambling to close their government offices Friday after President Joe Biden signed legislation establishing Juneteenth as a U.S. federal holiday. Many states like Maryland, Nebraska, Missouri, West Virginia, and Alabama will give most public employees the day off, but government workers in other states like California will have to wait to feel the effect of the new law. California Governor Gavin Newsom's office said in a statement, "It's encouraging to see bipartisan efforts to recognize the importance of Juneteenth. The governor issues a proclamation each year to celebrate this important day. At the state level, establishing a holiday usually requires legislation and collective bargaining." Now, this response underscores how rare it is that we really ever get a new federal holiday. Juneteenth is the first one to be established since Martin Luther King Jr. Day in 1983 and becomes at least the 11th federal holiday recognized by the U.S. So today, this, of course, is a time for us to pause and see where we are as a nation. There's a lot of different things we can do. Senator Tina Smith said, "Of course, today is not enough. There's so much more work left to be done. But this is an important day because it is a piece of pavement on that path towards justice. This is not a moment for complacency. This is a moment to rededicate ourselves to that work." So happy Juneteenth Day to everybody. And that is your morning buzz.
2020 was not only the year of the pandemic, but also an eye-opening chapter that shined a light on the struggles and the biases that Black Americans face every day. protests and public debates echoed that of the civil rights movement of the 1960s, and Black Americans felt the full weight of it. In the span of 1 week, anxiety and depression cases related to racism increased from 36% to 41% among Black Americans. The realization that racism still exists in our society has led many to ask questions and ponder the contents of their own hearts. So, what steps can we take to begin creating a brighter future for everyone? Here to share her thoughts with us is Dr. Beverly Tatum, author, clinical psychologist, and expert on race relations. Good morning, Beverly.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
In the recent discourse surrounding the Black Lives Matter movement, I've heard the term anti-racist being thrown around a lot. What does this really mean?
Well, I think before we talk about anti-racist, we have to understand what racism is.
Okay, and let's start there.
So many people use the term racism and prejudice as though they mean the same thing, but they really are not the same. Prejudice, of course, has to do with attitudes. Any of us, all of us probably, have prejudices based on stereotypical information we learned growing up, stereotypes we picked up in the media and other places. But those individual attitudes, while they influence how we interact with other people, racism is not just the attitudes. It's also the policies and practices that systematically disadvantage people of color and, on the other hand, advantage white people. And so when we talk about racism as a system, what we understand is that that system was in place long before any of us alive today were born. Mm-hmm. We are born into a society that already had built into it ideas and policies and practices that had been in place a long time. And if we want to interrupt that system, if we want to change it, we have to be actively working against it, actively working to dismantle it. So when people say they are anti-racist, what they mean is that they are going to work against those systems and try to make them more fair or dismantle them. When people say, well, I'm not racist, if they're not being actively anti-racist, then they are essentially just going along with the status quo. They might not be calling anybody a name or using offensive language, but the policies and practices that were in place remain in place unless they're actively working against them.
So give us, as we sort of, I appreciate, by the way, that sort of foundation for this discussion. I think that clarity really helps. Give us an idea, then, of the types of things that we can be doing. I know from watching, I sort of drop in on the news every day to make sure I'm informed, but I don't have it on constantly. I see, you know, these things like these rallies or these peaceful protests. And for some that are listening to this, they still have their worries and concerns about the coronavirus and things like that. If we can't be doing things like that to show up, what other types of things can we be doing?
Well, we all have a sphere of influence. And each person can think about, who do I influence and how? Do I influence people in my family? Do I influence people in my workplace? Do I influence people in my local church or other worship community? Do I influence people on my sports team? You know, and then once you think about all the people you influence, you can think about the ways you can use your influence to bring about change. So, for example, let's say you are a parent, and one question we can ask is, what kinds of conversations are you having with your children? Mm-hmm. How are you influencing how they think about the world? And are they learning what racism is and how to speak up against it by watching your example? That's, you know, one core place of influence. You could think about the local school. You know, what is the curriculum in the school? We just celebrated Juneteenth. Many people didn't know what Juneteenth was mm-hmm. until recently. You know, but why not? What's the curriculum in the schools? Many people didn't know about the Tulsa massacre that took place about 100 years ago and the racial violence against Black communities that have been part of our history. And the question is, why don't we know those things? Mm-hmm. And are we asking those questions? What's being taught in my child's school? What books are they using? How are these conversations taking place? That's just one example relative to education. Relative to policing, you know, anyone can write a letter to the city council or to the mayor to ask about citizen review boards. Do we have one? Who's represented on them? You know, are we even keeping statistics about police shootings and the racial disparity in them? Some communities are keeping those statistics, but the news reports that more than half of them are not. So these are questions that anyone can be asking, using their voice to speak up.
We're talking with Dr. Beverly Tatum about how we can have more conversations regarding race, and how we can be able to not only not perpetuate racism, but also to work to create a space where there is no longer racism, or an elimination, or just better than we are today, tomorrow. And I've appreciated so much of what you've said, especially regarding the sphere of influence. You mentioned, you know, maybe within our child's school or within our local community. One thing that I think a lot of people, when they think of sphere of influence, they in this day and age sort of think of their interactions on social media. And that's where I feel like we're doing it not very well. What's some advice that you have as we try and engage and further a conversation online that can be helpful?
Well, you know, it's hard sometimes to have meaningful conversations with just, you know, 128 characters or less. And particularly, we know, speaking as a psychologist, that when people are interacting in an anonymous way, they tend to be less considerate of other people, right?
Right.
So people say, say whatever comes to mind sometimes and hit send a little too quickly without really thinking through what's the implication of what I've just said. You know, I've just retweeted something. Was the thing I retweeted true? And am I helping to spread false information, or have I added value to this online conversation? So those are questions that each of us can ask ourselves. You know, is this really, do I really want to say this? Is this something that is really going to add in a positive way? Or is it just fueling the polarization fires we are already experiencing?
If I'm reading between the lines a little bit in what you're saying, it seems like you would think the best way to affect change would not be online.
Well, no, actually, I mean, I'm on Twitter. I am not on many forms of social media, but I do use Twitter, and I find it quite useful to as a source of information. You know, people post the Twitter people I follow are posting information about good sources of books to read and films to watch. And, you know, I get access to information I might not otherwise have. So this is not to say there's no usefulness. But I also, and, you know, let's just underscore the fact that we would not be talking about the death of George Floyd had it not been for social media.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Yeah, captured on film and, you know, viral video spread around the world, horrible to watch, but nevertheless exposing the reality of anti-Black racism as experienced at the hands of a police officer in a way that just talking about it or, you know, spreading orally wouldn't, you know, just wouldn't have had the same impact. So we know that there's value, but we also know that, as I said, social media can be a real source of misinformation and conflict because people don't really aren't necessarily listening to one another. I think when we're talking about an important social issue like racism and the effort, the sustained effort it will require to dismantle a system that's been in place for hundreds of years, we need to have face-to-face conversation, or, you know, in this era of COVID-19, maybe, you know, face to face on Zoom. You know, we need to be able to really listen and spend time understanding and then taking action. What comes from meaningful conversation that is sustained over time, not just, you know, like a one time wonder, but, you know, ongoing dialogue, is hopefully deepening understanding of someone else's experience and hopefully trust. And to the extent that that understanding and empathy is developed, it leads to constructive action. And at the end of the day, it is the action that is most important. But what leads people to take action? Typically, we speak up about something if we know somebody we care about is being affected. Mm-hmm. You know, people speak up about the need for health insurance when someone in their family doesn't have any.
Right.
People speak up about, you know, the impact of police violence when someone in their family has been impacted by it. We need to understand that those experiences, that if I care about you and what's happening to you, I'm going to speak up about it. If I don't care about you, then I'm just going to go on about my business and say, not my problem, right?
Yeah.
So it's through that constructive dialogue, that the empathy that leads to action.
You talk about one of the ways that we can gain a greater perspective is through books. And I think it's worth mentioning, back in 97, you wrote the book, Why Are All the Black Kids Sitting Together in the Cafeteria? And recently that has resurfaced on the bestseller list. Tell us a little about that.
Sure. Well, back in the 1990s, I was a professor of psychology, and I taught for many years a course on the psychology of racism. And in 1997, I decided to write a book about what I had been learning as a professor teaching that course. And my book was really about three things. I like to say what, so what, and now what. What is racism? How do we understand it? How it operates? The systems we're talking about just now. So what? So what does that matter in terms of how we think about ourselves as an African-American, thinking about myself as a black woman, as a white person, thinking about him or herself as what it means to be white, as a Latinx or Asian? We all have these identities that matter in terms of how we engage with other people and how they engage with us. And that's really what the so what is. So what does it matter in terms of living in a race-conscious society? And then the now what is, now what can we do about it? So I wrote that book in 1997 because I was getting a lot of requests from teachers and parents and principals of schools saying, you know, we've heard your presentations. We really need more information, and I wanted to put it in a forum people could read. Fast forward 20 years, 2017, my publisher asked me to update the book, and I revised it and updated it for the 21st century, thinking that some of the information in the first version of my book had become dated. And so I essentially rewrote it, and it was re-released in 2017. And, you know, much to my great delight, people are reading it, and it's on the bestseller list.
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing book and just catalog of the research that you've done, and really gives a great perspective into answering those three questions that you've addressed. It's such a heavy topic. I know it needs to be. It inundates the conversation. I queued this whole thing up as talking about how can we not be overwhelmed, or the what is a first step that we can do? We want to do something. Maybe we don't feel empowered to do so, but we know that we need to. What is that piece of advice that you have for someone wanting to take action?
Well, I think there's a lot to be said for taking the time to educate oneself. And there's a lot of ways to do that. We've talked a little bit about books, and there's some great books out there, not just mine, but others as well. And several of them are on the New York Times bestseller list right now.
Mm-hmm.
But also there are documentaries to watch. I mean, many people are at home still because of COVID-19. Netflix and other outlets have a lot of documentaries. You know, one that if people want to know more, for example, about the history of mass incarceration, there's a wonderful documentary called 13th, which is, you know, available to watch on Netflix if someone has that subscription. But but there are lots of sources, young children, books for young children that are much more plentiful today than they were 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So there are ways to educate oneself and one's family. And there are organizations that people can get involved with. I know in my own community, I live in Atlanta, there are churches that are organizing book clubs and discussion groups and, you know, trying to create opportunities for people to come together to deepen their understanding and then think together about what is the actions that they can take. Mm. What are the actions they can take collectively?
I love that, to just be able to start gaining information. And then I feel like really you'll be sort of guided in the way that will be best for you. Once you are given that good information, take the time to really to learn more. Dr. Beverly Daniel Tatum is a clinical psychologist and author of several books, including Why Are All the Black Kids Sitting Together in the Cafeteria and Other Conversations About Race. You can find out more about Beverly and her work by going to BeverlyDanielTatum.com.
Now, we want to remind you to enter for a chance to win an annual National Parks Pass, a family pass, so that you can take everybody along on all of your adventures all summer long as part of Lisa's Adventure Club. Now, we just gave away a winner today, and if you missed that, you can download the Lisa Show podcast wherever you download your podcasts, like Spotify, Apple, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Play, and go back and listen to that, because it's encouraging and fun to be able to really get that enthusiasm and idea in your head that you could win too. We're giving away one pass every week all summer long as part of Lisa's Adventure Club. And all you have to do is go to byuradio.org/adventure to enter for a chance to win that annual National Parks Pass. Now, at the end of the summer, we're doing a grand prize. You're going to want to stay tuned to be able to not only enter for a chance to win that, but to be able to go along all summer long as we highlight all these different national parks. We're giving away not only that park pass at the end of the summer, but we're going to throw in a $500 Visa gift card with it as well. It's Lisa's Adventure Club. Now, coming up next, we're going to find out which breakout authors have finally made it to the New York Times bestseller list. We're going to get you ready for the weekend. Thank you for listening to The Lisa Show. Thank you for listening to The Lisa Show. Okay, so we're looking always for new ideas, aren't we? Of things to do that make the weekend feel a little bit different than the rest of the week. We're excited either to connect with friends or just hunker down in our own homes and maybe binge something, read something, certainly cook and eat something. So we're going to give you a ton of ideas so that you can start your weekend off with the very best ideas and inspiration so that, you know, you're not starting from scratch. That's awful when you have an entire week and you've been working hard, keeping your head down, trying to make it to the weekend, and then you sort of look up like, oh, I didn't make any plans. Well, let me offer some suggestions. Streaming new to Netflix this weekend, we've got some ideas for some shows. How about Aziza? This is a short film that follows a newly displaced Syrian couple's drive around Beirut, which then morphs into a hallucinatory and nostalgic trip. Also, Red Snow. Ambushed by the Taliban, a First Nations soldier from Canada gets captured but escapes in a harrowing journey that stirs up memories of love and loss. If you are looking for something a little different, why don't you watch Penguin Town? In a picturesque South African town, an eclectic group of endangered penguins flock together to find mates, raise families, and mix with the locals. Also, okay, you Avenger fans, we got an adventure with Tony Stark. How about Avengers Climate Conundrum? When a mysterious force steals Tony Stark's weather machine to wreak havoc on the world, the Avengers must survive the extreme storms to save the day. Also, Headspace, unwind your mind. Do you want to relax, meditate, or sleep deeply? Who doesn't, right? Well, you can personalize the experience according to your mood or mindset with this Headspace Interactive special. It's called Headspace Unwind Your Mind. It's a new idea. It's something different than just watching a show. So if you had a particularly difficult week, you might want to check that out. And The Reason I Jump. This is the diverse experiences and emotions of five young people with autism, and they're feeling this illuminating documentary. It's based on Naoka Higashida's memoir. It's a best-selling memoir that's been out, The Reason I Jump, over on Netflix. Now, if you hop over to Hulu, what can you expect to find? Well, why not consider Dance Moms? This series follows doting mothers and the children's early steps on the road to stardom. You know, a bunch of you know, kind of almost like pageant dance moms, all under the discerning eye of a notoriously demanding and passionate dance instructor. Also on Hulu, Nasreen, an immersive portrait of one of the world's most courageous human rights activists and political prisoners. Nasreen, one of Iran's remarkably resilient women's rights movement, that is out on Hulu and getting a lot of attention. Also, Born to Play. Born to Play highlights the athletes of the Boston Renegades women's tackle football team. Looking for something a little bit fanciful? How about Dragonheart? The last dragon and a disillusioned dragon-slaying knight must cooperate to stop an evil king who was given partial immortality. Now, I don't know if immortality can be partial. I'm a little intrigued by that, but it is a partial immortality. And The Outside Story, an introverted editor living a vertical life in his second floor apartment, always on a deadline and in a rut. When Charles locks himself out of the building, he's forced to go horizontal and confront the world he's been avoiding in a search of a way back inside. That's The Outside World in Hulu. Also on Amazon Prime, Paddington, and this got a lot of attention. It's gotten amazing reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. A young Peruvian bear travels to London in search of a home. Finding himself lost and alone at Paddington Station, he meets the kindly Brown family who offer him temporary haven. Now, of course, this is based on the children's books, shows. There's been so many, but the movie is over on Amazon Prime. Also, Godzilla versus Kong. It's the epic next chapter in the cinematic monsterverse, pits two of the greatest icons in motion picture history against one another, the fearsome Godzilla and the mighty Kong, with humanity caught in the balance. It's a huge movie, and I mean that pun obviously intended. Also, Rent. This is the film version of the Pulitzer and Tony Award-winning musical about bohemians in the East Village of New York City struggling with life and the impacts they have on America. I didn't realize that there was a film version of this. That's over on Amazon Prime. So if you are looking for something good to watch, there's a lot of options coming up this weekend. I know across the country, huge heat waves are happening. So you might, yes, want to go outside on an adventure, but find yourself in the heat in the middle of the day needing a little relaxation, a little break in the air conditioning room, sitting on your couch doing something. So there's a lot of options there. Now, obviously, if you're sitting on your couch watching TV for, you know, more than 5 minutes, you're going to be thinking, I should probably be eating something. And you would be right. So what are some options outside of your normal fare? You know, I went out to dinner this week for a friend's birthday, and we were talking about, you know, splurging, you know, food wise. Like, I normally wouldn't eat a dessert on a Tuesday, but here I am at a restaurant. I totally will. And I think that we do the same thing with what we eat during the week, right? Like, a lot of people meal prep, or they just have their regular go-tos to simplify it. They're grabbing something on the run. It's usually the same thing. On the weekend, it's nice just to, if you haven't done it before, give it a try, because it does make, I think it kind of wakens up all of your senses, right? Like sight and smell and taste. When you are eating something that you normally don't and trying a recipe that you've never tried before, it does sort of waken you up a little bit. I think it's good for your brain. At least that's what I tell myself. So the recipes that you might want to give a try this week, and let me give you some ideas. If I'm going to tell you what to do, I want to give you some ideas as well. Well, for the main course, we've got triple pork sliders from Down Home with the Neelys. Now, triple pork sliders, I'm thinking pulled pork, right? Bacon. But so there's another pork in there because it's triple, and I don't know what it is, so I'm going to maybe have to make triple pork sliders this weekend. Now, for an elevated twist on the classic jalapeno popper, and there's nothing wrong with putting a jalapeno popper or two or seven or eight in your air fryer this weekend, why not elevate it a little bit and try a smoked Gouda chorizo jalapeno popper? The recipe for that, ooh, smoked Gouda chorizo jalapeno popper, you can jump on over to Sunny Anderson. Now, for those vegan friends, no need to feel left out. You can head over to foodnetwork.com for vegan queso. So if you've been thinking, I need something cheese related, but I'm vegan, what are my options? You know, Food Network has really great recipes. Those are tried and true. I find out if I'm in the mood for something or I'm looking for a recipe, more often than not, I find myself, if I Google it and looking through all the reviews and everything, landing on that Food Network. So I'm going to try that vegan queso. And with that queso, you can't just eat it by itself. I mean, you could. Sometimes I like to eat queso like a soup, but that's not a great health tip. But you could have it with a soft pretzel, which I think either a tortilla chip or a soft pretzel is the way to go. And Alton Brown has a fabulous recipe for soft pretzels. And so Alton Brown, you know, for those who don't know, has been around for a long time. He looks at the science of cooking, and he's perfected a lot of really great recipes. In fact, the recipe that I found over the pandemic for sourdough bread, you know, because we all had to have our sourdough starters, that was recommended to me by Sean, who is a colleague here at work, is just probably the best, easiest, no fail, because I, like a lot of people, were very embarrassed by my lack of bread making skills and thought, everybody's making sourdough starters and I want warm sourdough bread during a pandemic. What do I do? Because I'm not very good at bread. And my friend Sean was like, you got to try this one. This one's tried and true. And I was like, even for me? And I tried it out. It really is no fail. Alton Brown, his bread. I'm going to try the soft pretzels because the sourdough did not disappoint. And lastly, for a finger food dessert, I suggest caramel apple bites from Taste of Home, right? Little tangy, little sweet. So whatever you're doing, do something a little bit out of the ordinary. Now, there's a lot of positive podcasts that you could listen to. Again, if you're exercising this weekend, you're going on a hike with friends, you just need to be in that air conditioning house. Or maybe you're sitting in a hammock under a tree. Might I suggest The Lisa Show? You can download, subscribe our podcast wherever you get podcasts. All summer long, we're doing great things. We're helping you to entertain you, inspire you, and inform you to what's going on. We're also highlighting adventures that you can take this summer along with Lisa's Adventure Club and highlighting national parks and different places to visit now that things are opening up. Another positive podcast to listen to is Planet Money. Using creative and entertaining dialogue and narrative, Planet Money claims to be the economy explained. Also, Code Switch. Continue learning through fearless conversations about race and how it influences every aspect of society. Something really great to do for Juneteenth, or if you're just needing to educate yourself. Again, that positive podcast is Code Switch. Also, Dissect. This podcast is known for its thorough analysis of contemporary music. So for all you music nerds, we're going to want to head over to Dissect. Also, Invisibilia explores the intangible forces that shape human behavior, things like ideas, beliefs, assumptions, and emotions. I have enjoyed this podcast, Invisibilia, really great. And also, Science Versus. Science Versus takes on fads, trends, and the opinionated mob to find out what's fact and what's not. Now, what's happening around this country? If you're looking out and you're thinking, well, what am I going to do? I want to kind of get out. Don't forget that Father's Day is this Sunday. Take some time to celebrate the father figures in your life. Give your dad a call or do something in memory of him if he's not around. Find a way to make it special. There's a lot of ways that you can do this through writing a nice letter, a good text, calling, anything. Just don't do nothing. Also, today is International Picnic Day. And if it's warm, plan a picnic. We got a lot of recipes that we mentioned earlier. Make one of those. Invite somebody out. Have a nice picnic. Also, this Sunday, the Utah Jazz are playing the LA Clippers. I'm told that this is a hot game. I'm told that sports ball is pretty intense right now. So I want to mention it. You can tune in, cheer on your favorite team. You know, at least eat something great when you go to those games, because what's sports ball for? But for the snacks, right? All right, you want to read maybe that idea of spreading out a picnic blanket, having a picnic. You want to read a book, take a little nap, sit in a hammock. Boy, isn't that what summer is all about? Here's some ideas on the New York Times best-selling list. Malibu Rising by Taylor Jenkins Reid. Four famous siblings throw an epic party to celebrate the end of summer. But over the course of 24 hours, their lives will change forever. That sounds like a fun, good beach read. Also, Golden Girl by Ellen Hildebrand, a Nantucket novelist, gets one final summer to watch what happens from the great beyond. And How the Word is Passed by Clint Smith, a staff writer at The Atlantic, explores the legacy of slavery and its imprint on centuries of American history. Great books, great TV shows to watch. Awesome recipes. If you missed something you want to go back, just download our podcast and you can get a repeat of that or share it with a friend online on social media. You know, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. If you say, hey, I listened to this on The Lisa Show, you might want to check this out or decide what we're going to watch. Give somebody that you love an assignment. And as I mentioned before, you know, get out and do something. Making the weekend a little bit different and connecting with people is more important, I think, now than ever, because there's the assumption that things are going to, quote unquote, go back to normal after the pandemic as things open up. But then there's the reality of how things settle in. So use this as an opportunity to reach out to somebody, maybe send a text to somebody you haven't heard from for a while, pick up the phone, arrange to meet at a park, maybe even a dog park, something like that, to make the weekend an opportunity to really connect with loved ones, family, friends, or somebody you haven't heard in a while. There are a lot of things to do, and I hope no matter what happens, you have a fabulous weekend. The Lisa Show is a production of BYU Radio. You can find everything you need on the BYU Radio app, where you can listen on demand, or you can also find us on Sirius XM channel 143. And if you like something you heard, you want to hear it again, share, subscribe, download our podcast wherever you download podcasts. Now, on Monday's show, we're going to find out what NFTs are and why you might want to invest in one. Thanks for listening to The Lisa Show.